Hey there, it's David Chen here.
And Renee Wade. And welcome to another session of Attraction Control Insights, where we interview leading experts in the field of dating and relationships.
You see, here's the thing. In the many years that we've been teaching, coaching, and helping women, we've realized that there's no faster way to make progress than to have multiple perspectives from people who are the leaders of their field.
And this is why we've found the best experts to share with us their knowledge and experience in finding love, triggering attraction, establishing that loyalty and trust, and frankly, having the relationship that other people envy.
So we really think you're going to enjoy this interview. I suggest you sit back, take some notes, and let's get started. Hello everyone, David here, and today I'm interviewing a man who's made it his mission to help women understand men and the dating process and ultimately find a good man and succeed in dating. He's even called himself the heart protector for women. Now, one of the things I love about this man's work is that he doesn't just preach this stuff, because he's really been there and done that. See, he was in a devastating divorce several years ago, and suddenly he was thrusted into this dating game again after being married for a couple of decades. So he had to go through all this learning himself firsthand, which then led him onto this journey to becoming the coach that he is today. And so in the last few years, he's helped literally thousands of women finding a good man, succeed in dating, and he's also put together a whole collection of programs and coaching services to serve women on his website. You may have heard of him before. His name is Jonathan Asley. And so I really think you're going to enjoy this interview. You're going to learn about, you know, the different types of men in dating and what really drives them and how to really go from dating to commitment, which is a big source of frustration for a lot of women. And also we're going to talk about online dating. So I'm excited and I hope you are too. So Jonathan, are you there?
I am here. Thank you. I'm so excited. Thank you, David.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time out of your day and being with us. It's really my pleasure to have you share your thoughts and experience. Now, can we first start by having you share with us, you know, how did this all start for you? Where did it all start? I know you went through a divorce yourself, but what inspired you to, you know, get into teaching this kind of stuff?
Oh my gosh. I think I've told this story now a thousand times, and I'm not sure I really get tired because it was something that changed my life. After turning 40 and going through a divorce in 2005, I found myself back out in the dating world, and I was clueless. And I went from living in a big house with family and friends and barbecues and cookovers and stuff to moving into a small little resident inn bachelor pad with a refrigerator the size of a shoebox and a microwave to cook meals. Mm-hmm. And I was lonely. I would come home from work, before I'd come home to a family, and I came home to a little tiny place. I was lonely and I had my laptop and I'm like, what's this online dating? So I fill out a profile. And I got to tell you, I barely even knew how to load an image back then. And so I put together a really cheesy profile. And I say cheesy because I didn't know what I was doing. And I started to interact with women and started to have dates. And David, I tell you, I thought my first date was going to be a home run. I thought, oh, you know, because I was in an unhappy marriage. I was ready to start my life over and, you know, hit the ground running. And boy, was I in for a surprise.
What happened?
Well, you know what? She's actually a great gal. We're still friends after all these years. Uh-huh. But I realized, well, we weren't, you know, we kind of clicked in a couple areas, but a couple things were missing. Mm-hmm. So I went on the next date. Same thing. Kind of hit on a few areas, but missing. Went on another date. Same thing happened. Pretty soon, I got to be honest, I got addicted to online dating because I'm getting all this attention. Mm-hmm. I'm having these conversations with women, and I'm having hours and hours of conversation, and I'm text messaging and instant messaging and phone calls and emails and all this stuff. And pretty soon, I'm developing friendships. I wasn't even going on dates. I was just talking on the phone for hours at a time.
Right.
In fact, and guess what happened?
What's that?
I'd start getting phone calls saying, hey, Jonathan, I've got this date with this guy on Match.com. Will you go and check out his profile and tell me what you think?
Right.
I'm like, okay. So I go on and check on his profile. Mm-hmm. She goes, I just want the guy's perspective. Tell me what a guy, just tell me what you think. So I'd check out the guy's profile, and I'd say, well, I noticed this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. And she'd respond, Jonathan, he's nothing like you, what you described. I've been talking to him for a week, and he's fantastic. He's nothing like what you described. I said, okay, go on the date and tell me what happens.
Mm-hmm. So what happens?
David, they go on the date.
Yep.
The car door closes, the frantic text message after the date, Jonathan, can you talk? You know, and I, you know, it's 11 o'clock at night. I immediately get on the phone or whatever it was. And nice. I go, okay, tell me what happened. Tell me what happened. Mm-hmm. And they go, Jonathan, you were dead on. He was exactly the way you described. Mm-hmm. So I said, just like the FBI have profilers for serial killers.
Uh-huh.
Well, I can profile serial daters, serial monogamous, nice guys, bad boys, and the whole commitment ready men alike.
Uh-huh.
And everyone said, well, you've got to write a book. You got to write a book. So I wrote my first book, mm-hmm. Online Dating Secrets Revealed. And I said, you know what? I'm loving the talking to women and coaching them. And I took my 20-year insurance career that I had, mm-hmm. and I started to follow my passion in life. And that's helping women, not just understanding men, because
yep.
that's something I love to do is help them understand, but really shift into attracting their ideal guy.
Right.
I'm a big hopeful romantic. Now, did you hear me say hopeful as opposed to hopeless? Okay?
Yes.
Because I prefer hopeful. Yes. I'm the biggest hopeful romantic. I mean, I still cry at the movie Notebook or Serendipity, okay?
Well, me and too, actually.
But here I am, a big teddy bear, mm-hmm. 6'2", 225 pounds, mm-hmm. and I've got a big soft side, and I love helping women, and that's kind of how it got started. And from then on, my coaching career just took off. I
right.
started doing group classes. I do private workshops. Mm-hmm. I wrote my next book, The Relationships Men Commit to and Why.
Mm-hmm.
That's been by far my bestseller because it helps women really understand commitment-ready men.
Yes.
It's The Relationships Men Commit to and Why, really understanding what's going on in a guy's head mm-hmm. and who are the men really commitment-ready. Because most of their frustration, from where I see it, is, I got to tell you, mm-hmm. they all say, Jonathan, where are the good guys? All men are commitment phobic. And I'm like, that's the farthest thing from the truth. Men truly, truly desire delicious, you know, juicy relationships.
Yes, they do.
There's so many men out there. Mm. But if you're attracting the wrong guy, sometimes it might be inner work. Sometimes it just might be communicating. And then there's my piece that's about understanding the guys who are really ready and the ones who are not. And that's how this all got started. That was right. my short version.
Right. Well, over the years, I'm sure you've, you know, obtained it and got all this knowledge and helped so many women along the way. What do you think is the number one thing that's stopping women in this dating process of finding someone who's actually good, who's right for them?
I think we have to start from within.
Yep.
Okay. We have to start from within and especially if we have any limiting beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'll give you an example. Limiting beliefs are, there are no good men out there.
Mm-hmm.
Men are all jerks. Men are all players.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if all these limiting beliefs were tattooed through on your body.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they were tattooed on your forehead and your face, and you're going out on a first date, for example. Okay?
Yes.
The guy's going to see right on top of your forehead, there's no good men out there. Or worse, David, all the men that have ever hurt a woman is standing right behind her on a very first date.
Mm.
That energy.
Yes.
If they feel hurt and scorned, or they're judging the guy before he's even, you know, he's guilty before, you know, he's.
Yes, absolutely.
That type of thing. So that's probably one of the number one issues I see
mm-hmm.
is really changing that internal story about men in yep. particular.
Absolutely. And there are so many men out there, and you can't just categorize them under just the one umbrella of, you know, all men are commitment phobic. I mean, it is my belief that men actually desire commitment. It's just the right type of woman to commit to. You hear all the time those stories of the guy, for example, in movies, the guy who sleeps around and has all these casual relationships, and this one woman comes along and he falls in love with.
Yes.
You know, you hear that all the time, and it's just, you know, I tell women all the time, it's the you have to be show up as that type of woman that men actually naturally just want to commit to, and it'll be effortless.
I think, you know, we can, I mean, I could get into some real deep psychology, but what mm-hmm. I call those men that you just described, mm-hmm. I call them going through their hero's journey through commitment.
Right, right.
Hero's journey through commitment. And what that means is, look at every, okay, in fact, can I kind of give you a makeup of men at different stages
yes,
of their life?
That's what
okay,
I was gonna
let me
ask
do
you
that.
Actually. Yes.
Okay, I want you to take, for example, the 20-year-old guy, okay? Now, the 20-year-old guy, he's driven by testosterone. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's going to be the next Mark Zuckerberg, you know, the multi-billionaire. I mean, they've got so much drive and testosterone. Mm-hmm. And really, they're designed to go out and spread their seed, mm-hmm. to go conquer the world. And I don't truly believe that they're really commitment ready, nor should they really, should they commit, be in commitment, because they need time to experience adulthood.
Yes.
You know, at 18 years old, and here in the United States, we might be legally an adult, mm-hmm. but quite frankly, emotionally, we're a baby at 18 years old, and you're a one-year-old at 19 years old.
That maturity just isn't there yet.
I think it's important that a man have at least 10 to 15 years of adulthood mm-hmm. before he can seriously take on the responsibilities of a serious committed relationship, mm-hmm. especially if you're going to want to consider children in your life.
Yep.
I think it's probably important that he's got 10 to 15 years under his belt.
Right.
Now, that's not for all men, but I'm saying it's important to gain that knowledge and experience. So that's the 20-year-old. The 30-year-old is in that space where he's now between 30 and 40. Mm-hmm. Is in that space where you could probably start considering a serious committed relationship. Mm-hmm. And for those who haven't had children, you know, consider children at this age because they're going to be more established professionally.
Yes.
And the reality is, as men, as providers and protectors, mm-hmm. it's important that they feel like their professional identity is established.
Yes.
A man in his 20s whose professional identity isn't established is going to struggle with, you know, marriage and fatherhood. So I just say, just have that in your consciousness. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm going to get to the big category, the 40-year-old man.
Yep.
Okay, the 40-year-old man, depending if he's never been married, there's this belief that men over 40 have never been married are commitment phobic.
Uh-huh.
That's the farthest from the truth. These are men who are absolutely do not make poor choices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're looking for that someone special that's going to be a perfect fit for them,
mm-hmm.
okay? So if a man hasn't been married, that's okay. I've known men well in their late 40s who have gotten married and even started a family at that age.
Yep.
And you want that guy. So I wouldn't discount that man.
Right,
okay? Now, let's talk about the divorce man, because this is where 40-year-old starts happening to go through divorces.
Absolutely.
This is going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
If you meet a man who just literally just filed for divorce yesterday and you meet him online, beware that he's not ready for a serious commitment.
That's true, yes.
I went through my period. I said I was a serial dater for a while. Remember I mentioned that?
That's right,
yes. I went through my hero's journey before I was ready for the delicious relationship I'm in now.
Mm-hmm.
But I went through this period of sowing my oats. So the guy that's fresh out of a relationship
mm-hmm.
or fresh out of a marriage may not be ready for a serious commitment right off the bat. In fact, can I tell you a funny story?
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. I was, I just started online dating a few months in and I met this girl and I emailed her, she emailed me and she said, "How long have you been divorced?" I said, "I just got separated." She goes, "How long have you been separated?" I go, 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Jonathan, contact me when it's been 18 months and you had your transition girlfriend." I go, "What do you mean?" I go, "I was in an unhappy marriage. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready." She goes, no, Jonathan. Trust me on this." And I said, "Okay." And sure enough, I saw her online 2 years later.
Right.
And I wrote to her and I said, "I get why you said what you did."
Because
I met a fantastic gal 9 months after my divorce.
Mm-hmm.
We got serious. I mean, she was really fantastic. We got serious. And then 3 months in, I went into panic mode.
Right.
I realized I couldn't handle anything emotionally serious. I love the companionship. I love the attention. I love the regular sex.
Uh-huh.
But boy, was I not ready for the emotional commitment.
And would you say that's because of the heartbreak and the heartache that you've experienced in the divorce? Would that be the factor there?
I don't want to If you talk to my ex, there was no heartache.
Okay.
The divorce had its emotional toll on me just because family court, and I have children, so there was visitation and custody and all these things to think about. Mm-hmm. And so I realized that I needed to focus on Jonathan. And I was spending too much time externally trying to fill my needs through others.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. You know that movie, Jerry Maguire,
yep,
where he
absolutely.
Said, "You complete me."
Yep.
I went through the first few years after my divorce believing I needed someone to complete me. Mm-hmm. Both consciously and unconsciously, David. I even consciously knew about it, but yet, look it, I'm a guy. I want attention. I want affection. I want companionship, and I want regular sex.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't want the responsibility that went with commitment.
Yep.
Having to be told what to do. I'm not saying anyone tells me what to do, but that feeling that I have to be there at someone else's timetable. I wanted the freedom to come and go as I pleased. Mm-hmm. So it took me about 2 or 3 years. So I'm saying for those divorced men, you have to be a little bit careful. Mm-hmm. Now I want to add something to this equation. Okay.
What's that?
You have to be, and some of this is, I'm not trying to paint the bad picture. I'm just saying be conscious of the man who's going through his midlife crisis, if
right,
you will.
Right.
Okay. And this happens to men oftentimes where this happens for a couple different reasons. One particular reason is that men who have maybe kept their emotions bottled up in their lives. Mm-hmm. As boys, especially here in the United States, we're taught to be tough and not to show our emotions.
Uh-huh, okay? Yes.
We're taught to kind of keep our emotions bottled in.
Yep.
But so what happens is by the time we hit 40, all of a sudden we have a flood of emotions.
Uh-huh.
Starts to burst out of our body.
Yep.
Okay? That's one form of crisis, mm-hmm. okay, is our burst of emotions. That's a good thing. Okay.
Yes. Use that to feel your emotions.
Yes. But what's happened is we're confused. So we're kind of all over the map, uh-huh. but that's okay. We might do things that are chaotic, uh-huh. but it's great to meet a guy who gets connected with his emotions.
Mm-hmm.
It's the man who's going through a crash. He might have lost his job. He might be starting over in his career. Mm-hmm. There might be going through a divorce, and it's an emotional drain, and that's another crisis he goes through.
Right. Yes.
Okay. And it for that, so it's the difference between catching the man on the way down,
uh-huh.
catching the man on the way up emotionally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And sometimes women catch the guy on the way down thinking, I'll fix him. I'll fix him. Don't worry.
Me too.
I'll fix
yes.
him. I'll take him. You know, he just lost his job. He doesn't have a car. He's drinking a little too much. And he's addicted to online dating, okay? But that's not me, but that was a client. By the way, that's a true story of a client I coach, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'll fix him.
Yes, I definitely heard those stories before.
I don't recommend being in a relationship with a man you have to fix.
Mm.
Now, the last category of men in their 50s and 60s.
Uh-huh.
The reality is both men and women become set in their ways
yes.
at 80 and 60.
Yep.
So it's all about, can you blend lives, okay?
Mm.
So here's the deal. There's people, oftentimes the challenge is blending lives.
Yep.
And there has to be, and sometimes the person who's a driver,
mm-hmm.
let's say they're the driver of the car,
yep.
you have to consider being a passenger. Now,
sometimes, yes.
By the way, in my relationship, my girlfriend has the home. She has a lot going on. So I'm blending with her life uh-huh. versus the other way around. It just works that way.
Yep.
So it's important to say, but when you clash and you're trying to, sometimes you're in a power struggle over the blending of your lives,
uh-huh.
this is the thing that kind of creates a hiccup in relationships.
Mm.
So I'm putting this in everyone's consciousness to say, if you're in a relationship with someone who's kind of set in their ways, ask yourself, can you blend into their life? Because when you're trying to get that guy to blend into your life and it's not working, because it's not that there's anything wrong with him, he's just set in his ways, just like you might be set in your ways.
Yes. And is he willing, or are you willing to actually blend into yeah. his life?
See, I'm a total blender. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm okay with being a passenger at times. Now, believe me, my alpha male comes out in a total driver mode in our relationship. Mm-hmm. But I know where to pick my battles. Okay.
Yes.
I've learned to check my ego at the door. And, that, okay. And I mean it in the good sense. In other words, learn the art of agreement. But that's the best thing you can do as a guy. Mm-hmm.
So now, yes.
That covers the age bracket.
Yes, the age brackets. Now, with the divorced men as well, I had another question with that. Do you think divorced men actually have more commitment resistance? Do they have more of a, you know, a wound that they have to protect, and so therefore they actually are less inclined to commit to a serious relationship?
I just did a work. I'm actually doing two workshops. I just did a workshop called Dating Divorced Men. Mm-hmm. Actually, you can find that on my website. But I did a workshop about dating divorced men. And here's the there's the good and the bad news of divorced men. One thing about a divorced guy is he's made a commitment once. Uh-huh. So, you know, at least he's not, and depending if he's got children, he's got a foundation. He has some stability in his life. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where the divorced guy struggles in relationship is where his ground is unstable beneath him.
Right.
He's paying a lot in alimony or child support. He's got an ex-wife that's constantly coming down on him, okay?
Right. Yep.
And oftentimes women gravitate to this guy because he communicates his feelings, mm-hmm. but yet he's got a lot of dysfunction in his life, and the woman says, I'm going to support him, I'm going to stick by him, I'm going to help him, okay? Mm-hmm. And what happens is he takes.
Becomes a taker.
So you have to ask yourself, it's okay to be in a relationship with that guy, but if he's a take, if it's all about him, run as fast as you can.
Yes, definitely there are a lot of takers out there. But how could you, what are some of the red flags that you would look for?
Here's the deal. Mm-hmm. The red flags, the challenge of recognizing the true red flags, it takes 3 months being into a relationship before you can see the real glaring red flags. I mean,
right.
Some of the initial red flags to look for is, does a person's actions match their words?
Right.
That's the first and foremost.
Uh-huh.
If he's going to call, does he call when he says he's going to call? Mm-hmm. Does he make plans, or does he wait till last minute to, are you a booty call? Are you the booty call? Or are you the person who he calls on Tuesday? Hey, I've got this play I'd like to take you on Friday night. Are you available?
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who knows your schedule. If you have children, he's planned ahead.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
The guy who calls you at 8:45 on a Friday night saying, hey, you want to come over? I made cocktails. You know, he's looking for a booty call.
Yeah, definitely.
Chances are he's not, you know, it's just, you have to look at those subtle clues mm-hmm. of, and is he living in his drama? Real men that are confident, mm-hmm. who have a sense of direction, mm-hmm. they don't live in their drama, and they don't actually expose you to their drama early on.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
They're very cognizant of that. So men with direction and purpose and know what they want. So, in fact, the workshop I'm doing next week is the Commitment Ready Man. It's mm-hmm. all about recognizing the various different signs. And I've got 6 different tests that you can take from the first phone call to the first date to the third date to the third month to the 6th month, then the long-term commitment. There's short little tests that you can take.
Yep.
So it's called the Commitment Ready Man Workshop. Mm-hmm. Will he go the distance? Okay.
Okay. That sounds very fascinating.
This is the kind of work I do to help women. And it's all, here's the deal, David. It's about putting some things in your consciousness mm-hmm. so we don't get caught up with the one fundamental area that both men and women get caught up in relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's it's a C word.
And
it's called chemistry.
Chemistry. Okay. Can you share a bit more about chemistry?
Okay. Chemistry is, okay, you've heard the word chemistry. The chemistry is, did I have chemistry with her? Did I have chemistry with him? I didn't have chemistry with him. God, he was a fantastic guy, but I didn't have chemistry with him.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's those tingles, that sensation. Mm-hmm. But what really chemistry is, they've identified the science,
science,
in science, if you will.
Science, yes.
okay, scientifically, that was the word I'm choosing, mm-hmm. is that it's actually brain receptors and chemicals in our brain. Mm-hmm. Dopamine and oxytocin are some of the most common terms, and they act like crack cocaine.
Yes.
When you meet someone, and the stronger it is, the stronger the chemistry, mm-hmm. it's a belief that we think that we're in love. These chemicals were designed for caveman days mm-hmm. to bond us to our mate, so we didn't leave that person when we went out to the hunt
yes.
or something else happened. These were bonding agents.
Yes.
But today we don't have that same desperation, if you will. But
yes.
those chemicals are ingrained in us for thousands and thousands, if not billions of years, mm-hmm. however long it has been, depending on if you're a Darwinism or not. And so that's what's happening. It's brain chemicals. In fact, mm-hmm. the stronger the chemistry, the farther you should run away. Because I'm sure as a coach, you know,
yep.
and Renee know that any time you've ever heard two people with intense chemistry,
yep.
9 out of 10 times, it never works out.
Okay. And then why is that? Just curious. Why
is because
that?
A real healthy relationship mm-hmm. is built on a foundation of what I call the 5 C's.
Okay. What are they?
Okay. So I'll share that. Because this is what I talk about in my book, The Relationship.
Oh, fantastic.
And why.
Yes.
The 5 C's to a successful relationship
yep.
is chemistry,
yep.
communication,
yep.
compatibility,
mm-hmm.
character, and continuity.
Okay.
Okay, so we know what chemistry is.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Communication really is the foundation for friendship.
Yes, to be connected.
To be connected, to be able to communicate, to feel a connection. And really, when you communicate, often you're communicating with your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as a matter of fact, I've interviewed more people that have been married 40, 50, 60, my parents just celebrated 60 years.
Wow.
I said, what's the secret?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my mother has a version of it. But actually, if I took away what they're, you know, their little bias, it boils down to we married our best friend.
Right.
And so that's what communication's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Next is compatibility. Okay. Compatibility is, can you truly blend lives together? Do you share the same, you know, for example, if you're a person who's a smoker and you can't stand to smoke, these are your deal breakers, basically.
Yes. Yes.
So I was just using smoking, or it might be religion, or it might be some other factor that these
politics.
Are very politics, for example.
Yes.
I'm not suggesting that, but you have to ask yourself, are these your absolute deal breakers? And this is the area where the more compatible you are, the more likelihood you'll have less stress in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Character is what I define as our value system.
Right.
Okay. We all have different values. Now, most every woman I talk to as a coach for women, they all want a man of honesty and integrity.
Yes.
Honesty and integrity. I say that like I'm standing up like a warrior right now. Let's consider those a given.
Mm-hmm.
But what are the other values? Is your value charity? Is your value system justice?
Mm-hmm.
What are your core values? In fact, if you Google values,
yes.
there's a website that comes up with 400 different values.
Wow.
Write them down. Learn what they are. Ask yourself, what are your values?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're dating, like when you take my test, you see, do I match in values with this guy?
Mm.
Okay.
And would you suggest to these women that if they wanted a man who's honest, that they would have to show up as an honest woman in the first place?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We attract what we put out.
Yep.
Also, so it's so important. Now, again, honesty, integrity, those are to me just givens in life.
Mm-hmm.
But some people, like my girlfriend is ultra charitable. She walks by, and I'm picking on this from them, but she walks by a homeless person, she can't help to give a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of the opposite. Okay. Now, we're both charitable people in other ways,
uh-huh.
but that's different. But what if I was absolutely staunchly against it?
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely do not give that. In other words, what if I became hostile over that?
Mm-hmm.
Then we truly differ in our value when it comes to charity.
Mm-hmm.
As an example.
Yep.
So I'm not saying, again, there's a difference between just kind of the gray area, but your absolute differences. So that's character.
Yes.
The last C, and this is by far the most important C.
Right.
It's what I call continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Now you might be going, what's that, Jonathan? Okay. Continuity is the roots that we develop in a relationship.
What do you mean by that?
Okay. I want you, I'm going to give you a picture to look at first for a moment.
Okay.
I want you to imagine a tree in a hurricane wind that's deeply rooted. What's going to happen?
It's going to stay.
It's going to stay. So what happens when a tree isn't rooted? It's just going to blow right over.
Right.
Continuity, or the roots of a relationship, I've identified five areas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that you, once you become rooted in these areas, the stronger your tree,
yes.
will withstand.
The tree of the relationship, yep.
Tree of the relationship will withstand a storm, okay?
Right.
So these five areas are emotional connection.
Yep.
Economic agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Family and, social activities and hobbies,
mm-hmm.
family and friends, mm-hmm. and intimacy.
Right.
So go ahead.
So if you had those five areas all connected or deeply rooted, then that would create a stable relationship or something that is strong, at least a strong bond. Is that the idea?
That's absolutely right. The stronger you are rooted in those areas, the more likely your relationship will handle a storm. And every relationship is going to have a bump,
mm-hmm.
a little storm. And in my case, my relationship had a 9.0 earthquake about 4 months ago.
Right.
We've been dating for about 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is we had a big pink elephant that we hadn't been addressing.
Right.
Now, it's personal, so I don't want to get into the details.
Okay.
But
yes.
It's one of those we swept it under the rug, and it blew up one day. And it caused an earthquake. And it had aftershocks to go with it. For about 45 days, our relationship was on such shaky ground.
Right.
And in most cases, it would have devastated most relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But we were rooted in our emotional connection. We were rooted in our economic agreement. We were rooted in our social activities and hobbies. We were rooted with family and friends. And we were rooted in our intimacy.
Mm. So you had so much going for you that it didn't matter that it was a 9.0 earthquake, that
yes.
you still had things held together.
Yes. Now, actually, I should say it was one of those issues that was kind of shaky.
Mm-hmm.
But so I should have said one of those issues we were partially rooted, but I don't want to give away what it was.
That's okay.
But because of that, we were able to ride the storm. And in fact, we even went to a therapist to help us communicate. And after that session, we're like, oh, my God, we were so on the same page. We just didn't know how to say it really. We just had a hard time getting it out.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to hurt the other person's feelings.
Yep. Yep.
And since then, our relationship has been so solid, so rooted. I mean, it's been fantastic ever since.
And do you think it was even stronger at the afterwards than it was beforehand?
I think so. I think that you can go to a deeper level of
yep.
intimacy once you've kind of ridden a storm. But
yes.
So here's why that continuity is so important. Now, here's the deal, David. You're not going to get this on the first date or the second date, but you're going to start seeing the signs fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I coach women. So does he introduce you to his family or friends,
mm-hmm.
or does he avoid them?
Yes.
Does he share his feel? I'm not talking about the first or second date, but I'm talking getting into the first 3 months of a relationship. Does he start sharing a bit about his emotional life?
Mm-hmm.
Does he share with you his financial status?
Right, yes.
Okay, economic agreement is hugely important.
Yes.
Do you have regular intimacy?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be candid here. I'm not talking about regular fucking, okay? Excuse me. I'm talking about deeply connected, looking to each other's eyes, and you connected at an intimate level, not just sex.
Actual intimacy.
Your heart. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And because a guy who's connected to a woman in true intimacy, he's rarely going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
But so for those men that show up in that capacity, you're very fortunate. Okay? Because
mm-hmm.
these are men who are really conscious, and they cherish and respect you in this process.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's important to recognize the five fingers to the glove of continuity within the five C's of what creates a successful relationship.
Yes.
And once you have that in your consciousness,
mm-hmm.
you are so on your way. Because if you have that in your consciousness, that this is what I really want,
yep.
not from a desperate or needy place, but like, wow, Jonathan's like, wow, this is so great. That's exactly. I want to feel great. I want to feel this chemistry. I want to feel this communication. I want to feel, you know, this compatibility. Once you start feeling it, there's nothing greater on this planet when you connect with that person that you're aligned with.
Yes, absolutely. And you have to be clear about this.
Most of my coaching is designed to help you gain clarity around the five C's to a successful relationship.
Ah, fantastic. Fantastic. Because I would suggest, I would say that, you know, most people, not just women, but most people go into a relationship initially seeking attention, so they don't really know, they don't have that clear image or picture of what really, what kind of relationship they want, but they just settle for that attention, that cheap attention, and then eventually they get into that situation 3-6 months down the track where, oh my God, he's not the guy that I thought he was.
Yeah. And then you're heartbroken because you've got all this chemistry connected to you. And then you're trying to fix a broken record.
Yeah, exactly. And you haven't framed the relationship in the right way at the start. And it's almost like just fighting a losing battle.
Exactly.
What would you suggest in terms of compatibility, in terms of how do you find a man who you're compatible with? What is compatibility?
Well, compatibility is really getting, oh God, we could slice this a couple different ways, but let me just kind of take you, well, it covers what we just talked about, but let me take it a little step further. Ask yourself, take a snapshot of your lifestyle, okay? And ask yourself, what's going to fit with my lifestyle and what am I open to blending with someone else's lifestyle? Because all too often, most women in particular go into a relationship going, love will solve it all. Sang that, my poor singing skill. But love will solve it all. And while love is the most powerful, you know, dynamic energy on this planet, I mean, more, you know, wars have been started over it and more generosity has been contributed to love. So there's no doubt it's a powerful, you know, energy. But to be a successful relationship, there's a difference between a successful relationship and just loving someone.
Yes.
Okay. You can love someone with all your heart. Doesn't mean you're compatible in being in a successful, in a long-term relationship. So first, one of the exercises I do with clients, and this is a very simple exercise. I go through and I start with, let's just assume the first day of the month is a Monday. And I go, describe what your month looks like every single day. And Jonathan, they'll go, Jonathan, this is ridiculous. I go, no, describe what it looks like.
Right.
Okay. Well, I get up in the morning at 4 a.m. because I go jog, and then I go into the office, and I work till 10 o'clock at night, and that's Monday. And then I, you know, I play with my cat for a few minutes, and then I go to sleep. And then Tuesday, I get up at 4 in the morning. I do the same thing. And I'm just being facetious here for a moment, but you see what's like. So I'm like, okay, so where does a guy fit in?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll make time for him. Really? You're going to make time in this schedule. So take a look at how's someone going to fit into your life? Because there's this belief that we'll just magically fit them in. Now, I want to differentiate between having a full, healthy, abundant life with family and friends, but having the space to fit someone in. So if you're a driven, successful, career-oriented woman, you're going to struggle having a guy fit in if you're so driven in your lifestyle and you're not making space for that person. That's one thing. Or let's say you're raising children and you've got that dynamic going on. You might have a lot of other facts. You might be juggling a lot of balls. So ask yourself, can you really give 100% to another relationship? Now, I'm not, and by the way, it's all about recognizing how you're going to blend lives.
And how to fit together.
Pardon me?
How to fit together. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it goes vice versa, too. If the guy is busy every day of the week and he's got all these activities, how is he going to fit her in? Do you want to go after the guy that's so busy and believing that he'll magically change just for you? Okay?
Yes.
So it's about having balance and being able to have space. And that's one of the first things I look at besides – besides core deal break, I've asked most clients, what's your five core deal breakers? What's your absolute no's? Okay? And it might be geography. You know, distance might be a no.
Mm-hmm. It might be a smoker, might be a no. It might be, for some women, it might be the guy's too short. I don't know what your particular deal breaker is. Okay.
But be clear about those deal breakers.
But be clear about them. Mm. Now, here's the challenge with deal breakers. Be open to being surprised, too. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, I mean, in other words, there's a difference between a deal breaker and something where, like the age thing, okay?
Yep.
I'm actually in a relationship with a woman who's older than me. And I love her mm-hmm. deeply with all my heart. But I always thought I would date someone 10 years younger.
Mm-hmm. But that was a deal breaker.
No, it was not a deal breaker.
Yes.
It was my – there's a difference between what I desired, a preference, versus yes. a deal breaker. Mm-hmm. Okay? So recognize your deal breakers versus your preferences mm-hmm. and be open to being surprised even if a man doesn't meet your preference is what I'm saying.
Yes. Yes. I mean, if you had 1,000 preferences, I doubt that you're going to ever meet a man who's going to fit perfectly within those preferences. But there are certain things that we just have to live with, and there are certain things that they're an absolute no-no for us, right?
No, I highly doubt that any relationship, really happily bliss relationships that you see out there, mm-hmm. don't have their fair share of issues. Okay?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I know you just got married. You're in a state of bliss right now, but I'm sure the two of you have a couple areas where you're absolutely.
Oh
like,
no, I totally agree with you. I mean, I've been together with Renee right now for 7 years, and you know, in 7 years you see a lot. I mean. We used to spend pretty much every single day together. Yeah. And, you know, when you do that, you really get to see someone as who they are very, very early on.
Go ahead.
And it doesn't matter who you are. Two people come together, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be massive conflict. And by the way, if there isn't conflict, it's probably going to be boring down the line.
Yeah. So. Well, that's the spice of relationship.
Yes.
You know, in fact, in my book, I call it the price of the whole package. And when you look at the price of the whole package, it's about loving the person even in their imperfect state. It's about it's finding the perfect in the imperfect, if you will. So I'm going to give you an example of the price of the whole
please.
Package.
Yes.
My sweetheart, who I love dearly, mm-hmm. when she's in work mode, she's neurotic. Okay. Did you ever see Harry Met Sally?
Yes, I have.
Okay. My nickname for my girlfriend is Sally. When she's in this state of like absolute driven perfectionism and everything. And it drives me nuts because sometimes she'll be up till 2 or 3 in the morning. And see, when you're a perfectionist, you have to make things so perfect that you're like, you could have finished hours ago and it was still perfect. But no, I got to make it more perfect and more perfect. That's her Sally.
Yep.
Now, but I still love her in this state. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I'll give you an example of something that drives her nuts that I do. When we're out in public, and sometimes she asks me a personal question.
Yep.
And it might be kind of intimate, if you will. Mm-hmm. I have a big booming voice, and she thinks that I just shout it at the top of my lungs. Okay. Now, I really don't, but mm-hmm. she thinks I do. Mm-hmm. So that's her, you know, but that's part of the, in other words, she looks at that and she goes, okay, I've just got to accept Jonathan for that. And because why would I want to break up with a guy who just talks loud every once in a while? Mm. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that really worth? So really, it's these little things that we accept in our partner that may not be perfect, mm-hmm. but we love them for it as well.
Yeah, we find that the bits that we do love and we just cultivate that, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really the secret for most people's successful relationship. Mm-hmm. In fact, Ariel Ford wrote a book called Wabi Sabi Love. And it's about the perfect and the imperfect. Mm-hmm. I'm giving you the cliff note version. So,
absolutely. I think, would it be true that so many men and women go into the relationship thinking that it may turn out really good and actually overlooking all the little things that they should probably pick up on? And those are the people who you would sort of suggest, you know, don't just fall in love with that fantasy. There will be problems, there will be conflict, and just actually anticipate them and prepare for them.
You just, I call it sidestepping the landmine.
Okay, yes.
I do it all day long. I have a four-letter word. It starts with an S, ends with an IT. But it's like avoiding stepping into the shed. And I And when I know it's going to happen, I go, uh-oh, brain, think quickly, avoid it, because I know I'm going to step into it with my sweetheart and vice versa.
Yes.
But ultimately, you know, here's the thing, David. For the women who are on the call right now, I want to share something with you. Because many of the women that come to me, they're in relationship for 6 months with a guy. Mm-hmm. And they're in this state of, where's the relationship going? Where's it going? Where's it going? Where's it going? Where's it going? Mm-hmm. Guys, we nest. Okay, that's N-E-S-T. We nest. Mm-hmm. Usually when a guy's in a relationship for 6 months, mm-hmm. he's not going anywhere.
Right.
Now, what I mean, he's not going to leave you. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, we're in the space where sometimes women nag or bring up the issue of where the relationship's going, mm-hmm. and it puts him on the defense.
Defense, yes.
Men, and you're guys, so you know this, we hate being on the defensive.
Yes, absolutely. Because okay? there's no right answer when you're defending.
No, exactly. No,
nothing right about defending. So, yeah.
But you're in a relationship with a guy 6 months in, 7 months in, and you're like, I need to know where the relationship's going. It's going great. You guys get together every weekend. You spend time with family and friends. You're having regular sex. Things are going great. Everything's going great, but I need to know where it's going. It's like, but he's like, it's going great, honey. We men tend to live in the now, mm-hmm. and women have a habit of living in the future.
Future and the past, I find it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Sometimes it's either the past mistakes that are driving what their future idea should be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And where a guy just, he's like, I'm happy now, you know?
But she's thinking 3 months ahead.
Exactly. Well, here's the deal. I don't want to discount the women who truly want to get married or start a family. That's something where you need clarity. Mm-hmm. Okay? I understand that. If that's important to you, or if you need a man to take care of you, I get it. Okay? If you need to be in that type of relationship.
Yes.
But for the most part, when a guy's 6 months in, he's rarely going anywhere. And men marry women that make them happy.
Right.
Let me repeat that.
I think that's a very important fact right there. I mean, you made it so simple, yet it's so profound. Men marry women who make them happy. You know,
when a guy's happy, mm-hmm. He's not going anywhere, and B, he'll marry. Mm-hmm. It's when it's unhappy that he's not. And guess what? When we're unhappy, we can only handle so much emotional unhappiness. Mm-hmm. And what do? When it's too much, we retreat.
Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. We retreat to our friends, we retreat to our cave, we retreat from you. Mm-hmm. The more emotional responsibility when we're unhappy, the more likelihood we are to retreat. When we're happy,
yep.
Boy, we want to be your hero.
Yes.
My God, I'm always looking to be my girlfriend's hero, whether it's taking out the trash or churning the composter or getting the heavy water bottle, whatever it is.
Absolutely.
I openly do it because she is so much fun to be with.
Yeah, and it's so much fun to be heroes, right?
Yeah.
As men. And that's something that I think women should need to understand, is that men love to be heroes. If they could just have a way to actually win this game and be the hero at the end of the day, then they would do that more often if they just knew
for
how.
Sure. Yes. We just need, and by the way, we men are kind of stupid. We need direction.
We need rules.
We need we can't read your mind. By the way, it strikes me as always funny, especially now, because I do a lot of my interviews, David, with women. So now I've got a guy that I'm being interviewed by. So we can, this is women, this is guy talk 101 right now. Okay. So when we're happy, we want to be your hero. We do. When we're miserable, we want to retreat.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's when, you know, the woman comes to you or me that says, you know, my man's withdrawn, he's sort of backed off, you know, what do I do? Well, it's probably because that he doesn't feel open, because he's not happy, he doesn't know how to make you happy either.
No, and guess what? Just give us a couple. I mean, okay, there's a difference between, you know, figuring your hints or just telling us what it is, okay? But just don't hold it against us, because we can't read your minds.
Yeah, I do believe that guys are a lot dumber than women. We tend to be a lot simpler, and we think we see things as they are, whereas women tend to be a lot more indirect in their communication. So therefore, I think a lot of women have difficulty actually communicating directly as to, you know, what you should do and what you don't, what you can't do.
I heard an interesting analogy recently about men. Mm-hmm. And I want you to picture a man, like, look at an apartment building. Mm-hmm. And there's different apartments. And for each apartment, mm-hmm. there's a difference a man's, emotion, you know, different facet of a man is in each department. For example, the way he communicates, the way he goes to work is a different apartment within an apartment complex.
Right.
The way he communicates, the way he hangs out with his family, the way he hangs out with the friends, a different apartment. Mm-hmm. His feelings are in the downstairs basement storage room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And his sex drive is the penthouse apartment that covers the top floor.
Right. Okay?
So this is a guy, and we do everything in different apartments. So we have to go up and down an elevator to get to a different apartment. Mm-hmm. Whereas a woman, all of that is her apartments have no walls. Okay, they're all interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
So she can move in and out of her feelings and this and that so smoothly. But we got to go down the stairs and up the stairs and through the door and out the window and through the elevator. This is how men operate.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Okay?
So it takes us a lot longer to get to where you've already just walked from one door to another.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
It's totally different brain chemistry, different way of thinking, living, acting, behaving.
Well, some believe that there's men have a thicker corpus callosum
Yes.
So whatever it is, and that's they're able to connect better than men.
The two halves of the brain. Yep.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, and I'm no expert in Friends. I could have totally butchered that. It could have been the Medina Almangada or something.
I would have corrected you there because I'm fascinated with these things as well. And I'm a big, you know, believer in evolution, how that's shaped men and women and how differently it's shaped men and women. We have all these hardwired triggers and drives and instincts that I think – most of us overlook in this modern society. We just think that, you know, we're all born the same and it's society that's sort of trained men to be a certain way. Well, it's not. It's more so, you know, our hardwiring, our neurology that's come from, you know, thousands and thousands of years of evolution.
Yes. But at the end of the day, David, I think I can speak for most guys and maybe if I can jump in and speak for you as well.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, what men most want, and again, my focus is helping women understand men, is we want companionship, we want attention, we want affection, we want regular sex, we want fun, happiness, and when we have that, and also a bit of variety and freshness, when it's fun and fresh and we've got the what I just shared before, we're in bliss.
Mm-hmm.
We are.
Yeah.
We're happy. And here's the challenge. Yeah, I know we were going to talk about dating for a moment, and I'm not going to go spend a lot of time, but I just want to say this.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Everyone on this call, it's a challenge to find a perfect fit.
Mm-hmm.
It is. There's so many options and choices, whether you want to go do whether it's social clubs or activities, whether it's getting fixed up by friends, whether it's online dating, it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think we're talking about tonight is when you have clarity in who you are, you've let go of your limiting beliefs, and you have clarity on what makes a healthy relationship, and you can breathe that in. In fact, I'm just going to take a breath. Breathe that in.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel that, you're going to be more apt to go to one of those venues.
Yes.
And you're going to be attracting a more person that's more of a fit for you when you're feeling good about yourself and you let go of your limiting beliefs and you have clarity on what you want and what works for you.
Absolutely.
Especially in the area of lifestyle.
Absolutely. And I guess with the technology these days, I mean, online dating, you can literally meet hundreds of people in a matter of, you know, hours, right?
Online dating right now is the number one venue for connecting with potential partners and mates in your life. It really is. And I'm a huge proponent of it. I wrote a book, Online Dating Secrets Revealed. It covers the do's and don'ts of online dating, mm-hmm. whether it's about how important it is to have a quality profile mm-hmm. to attract a person.
Yes.
How to initiate a conversation. All of the different steps is outlined in my book.
Fantastic.
And I can't tell you. I met my girlfriend through Facebook initially.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't until I saw her on a dating site that I had the nerve to ask her out. Because then I saw her there, and I said, I want to ask you out now.
Right.
Even though we were Facebook friends. So online is a great way to connect. And if you haven't tried it, I highly recommend it. If you feel like it's the worst thing in the world and you've struggled with it, change your belief around that. Because there's quality people in online dating. Mm-hmm. Just try a different service. I mean, between Match.com, OkCupid, eHarmony, just to name a few, there's all great people out there.
Yep.
But it might be your profile needs a bit of tweaking. It might mean something else. It might be just having this consciousness that can make all the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I think I kind of want to end on this note.
Yes.
That is, I'm going to take a deep breath because I want to take this in, is really just be, I'm going to say this,
mm-hmm.
be your best self. Truly be your best self
mm-hmm.
and set really, really claim your worth and set high standards for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stress the importance of that because men are attracted to three things.
Uh-huh. What are
they? We're attracted to confident women.
Mm-hmm.
We're attracted to women who are fun and who laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And we're attracted to women who are smart. Now, I'm not talking Mensa smart, but just show up with a bit of intelligence
mm-hmm.
and we're attracted to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, but now let me differentiate on that one. It's not about a contest there. Okay? It's about showing
who's
up.
Got more degrees.
Exactly. It's about showing up really with your best self,
yep.
setting that standard, mm-hmm. confident, funny and attractive. And when you do that, you're just going to naturally attract men. And I guess I want to really end with this note.
Yes.
I'll never forget meeting this woman at a party.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'll tell you, she's a little bit overweight by her own admission. She uh-huh. was 40 pounds overweight. That's her words, not mine, okay?
Right, right.
And I go, and she's in this fantastic relationship with this young, attractive guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what's your secret?
Mm-hmm.
What's your secret? And she goes, Jonathan, I love men. I love men. I love the energy of men. I love being with men. I love connecting with men. I just love men.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when she said that, she didn't say that from a needy place or a sleazy place or anything like that. She goes, I think men are the most amazing creatures on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And because she said that, she radiated this absolute energy
yes.
that was magnetic.
Yes, absolutely. I totally know what you mean. And it's that appreciation, that deep appreciation that I think so many people lack these days.
Oh, you nailed it right there,
yeah.
that appreciation. And she had more men on her list that wanted to date her. I mean, I'm talking about heads of companies and this and that. And by the way, she's not overly beautiful or anything like that. By her own admission, she was 40 pounds overweight and had lots of issues. But the way she attracted men is because she loved and appreciated men.
Yes.
She had more on her dance card than anybody I've ever known.
Right.
And I found myself absolutely falling in love with her. It's that energy
mm-hmm.
that men are most attracted to.
I couldn't agree more with you. It's the energy, it's the feminine energy, really, that attracts the masculine.
Yeah.
And it's not how you look. So many women focus on how they look. It's not that. It's just the energy that you put out into the world that men ultimately find attractive, I think.
Well, that's what I love about Renee's work. It's all about being the feminine. And
yeah.
we men, the men who are really going to show up steadfast, resolute, commitment ready, relationship ready,
mm-hmm.
we're attracted to women that radiate their feminine energy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you can be in that space of truly loving men, and when I say loving men, I'm just saying appreciating, loving. And by the way, even us, even the guys that are dysfunctional or whatnot, I'm not saying go out with them. But I'm saying love men for who they are,
mm-hmm.
whether the good, the bad, the ugly. If you love them for that, instead of being jaded, holding it against them, having limiting beliefs, having it all tattooed all over your body, when you come from that loving place,
mm-hmm.
you're going to become a magnet like you can't imagine.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, how can people find out more about you and your work, Jonathan? Because I know you have a gift, is that correct?
Well, I do. I believe you're going to have a link right below this.
Yes.
Right? Okay, so there's going to be a link below where I'm offering a free gift. Mm-hmm. It's a how to get any man to open up in 10 minutes, even if you think he's emotionally unavailable. Uh-huh. Okay.
Fantastic.
And my website is understandmennow.com. Understandmennow.com. You can Google that, jump on my Facebook page, become a Twitter fan, follow my blog, but check out my different products I just mentioned. But the free gift is going to help you out, and join my email community. I send tons of information out every week about, and my whole thing is about understanding men, because here's the deal. Mm-hmm. When you understand us and you're in your game, mm-hmm. when you're in your feminine energy and you get guys, you're going to be a magnet to men. Mm-hmm. You're going to have the guy that you want. Mm-hmm. The guy who's looking for you will find you.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Will find you. You don't have to look for him. He's going to find you.
Mm, as you say, instead of, finding a needle in a haystack, you become the pincushion.
That's right.
I stole your line.
Yeah, you stole my line. Instead of looking for the needle in the haystack, ladies, just be the pincushion.
That's right.
Are all going to be attracted to you. And it will happen. I have clients every day in my group coaching program, in my monthly membership. Mm-hmm. I have a forum where we talk twice a month, and we talk about the different dynamics. And I'll tell you, it takes a while, David, to shift the energy. Mm-hmm. Once you start shifting and you're around other heart-centered women, mm-hmm. you're a magnet. It's all like all these spider senses are going off. Every day we have a private page. Mm-hmm. Where I get another email, Jonathan, your advice worked so well. Jump on, you were so right. He did exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. It's when you're in that flow, mm-hmm. it just happens.
Yes, absolutely. So one last thing. Now, what can we expect from you in the future? Are you going to do more coaching, perhaps running a seminar one day?
I want to come to your neck of the woods and speak.
To Australia, huh? I don't know. I don't even know whether we have the population to even run a seminar here, but
I would love to trip out there. Actually, I just met with the producer of a new reality TV show, relationship show, where they've got four man panelists. Mm-hmm. It's about it's my work getting inside a guy's head. Mm-hmm. So there's a good chance I'm going to be doing a podcast for that and doing a pilot program. So I just met with them last week. So, we'll see where that goes. Fantastic. It's just an honor to be considered. But I do workshops. I do monthly workshops. So if you join my email community, mm-hmm. you sign up, you find out. I do workshops, dating divorced men, long-distance relationships, mm-hmm. Commitment-ready men. Oh, my God, I could just keep going on.
Right. Fantastic. Well, that is great to hear. And thank you again for your time today. It's been amazing hearing your thoughts.
Oh, well, thank you, David. This was such a blast. I love your work. I think the two of you are fantastic. Whatever I can do to support you, please let me know. And thank you for this, because I know you've got a great community, and I appreciate the opportunity to say hello to them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And all the best now. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.